Our message this morning is going to be a two-part morning and evening message, and I would invite you to take your Bibles, if you will. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We are going to be reading this psalm in unison. I think by now you're just about there when I hear the pages ceasing to rustle. All in unison, reading together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in this great and wonderful psalm, speak to our hearts in a very new and special way through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This psalm has been uttered upon the lips of martyrs who have suffered for the name of Christ, the Word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as they were taken to the place of their martyrdom, many a saint has uttered the 23rd Psalm. Read it with sobriety. Read it with reverence. Let it be your confession of faith this morning. This chapter has been uttered by POWs who answered to the call in the defense of our nation, and they were held captive by the enemy to the place of their execution. Suffering Christians, men, women that have spent lives serving the Lord, raising up godly seed, then finding themselves on their deathbed, facing death, even with family members holding hands round about them. Many times the 23rd Psalm has been uttered as that prayer of faith. The 23rd Psalm has been a text that preachers have preached on in many, many a funeral. And yet, we have celebrations at our funerals because we know that we have not lost our loved ones. We know exactly where they are. And like Dr. Billy Graham said, when news is given of my demise, please be aware that I am more alive now than I have ever been before. And that is true. Negro slaves going forward in a battle that they knew was in effect their suicidal end and to usher them into eternity. Many of them believers in Christ during the Civil War, fighting for their freedom, uttered the 23rd Psalm, sang even the 23rd Psalm. You remember in the days of September the 11th, as we say 9/11, it was Todd Beamer who contacted his family, and they were aware, and they recited the 23rd Psalm, knowing that they were about to storm the terrorists. But they would give everything that it would take, even their lives, to prevent an attack upon our nation. The 23rd Psalm was written by David, King David. He was a sinner just like you are and just like I am. He was a man who wrote this psalm in the latter years of his life, so he was well qualified to say what we read here in this passage of Scripture. David never forgot his early years as a young boy when he was a little shepherd. Does your mind ever go back to the early years of your life? Those impressionable years in which, as Brother Ken said, God never wastes anything in our lives. He uses everything, every experience he uses to perfect us and equip us so that we can more powerfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that only not includes the steps, but also the stops of a man. God can use us even in times when our hearts are broken. He can turn misery into ministry if you will let him. David let God work in his life, and God gave him these important experiences that he refers to here. Let me quickly say that I believe everyone here in this little chapel knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior, but there may be some listening through the internet ministry that have never made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Psalm 23 is not a prayer of the non-believer unless he's willing to come to Christ. But Psalm 23 is a large reception room for those who are willing to enter through the doorway of Psalm 22. Because Psalm 22 presents the suffering Savior who died on the cross, bore our sins at Calvary, and that by receiving that free gift by faith, we can then claim, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I think one of the reasons why I chose Psalm 23 to preach on, it's not because you've never heard any messages on Psalm 23. It's not because we have totally understood everything that Psalm 23 teaches, but I think that the reason why I've chosen the 23rd Psalm is that I think it's very applicable for the decisions and the things that God is doing in each one of our lives as we transition into another church ministry, as we turn the page and go forward into what God has for us. The Spirit of God has led me to preach on Psalm 23 as a reminder that God is still there. He's still in control. And I believe that the Lord is using the Sunday school class that we received this morning through the life of Abraham to reaffirm, and then as we look at the writings here of David. So we're going to be looking at the shepherd's care for you. You, dear one, are very, very important to the Lord. We're going to be looking at a six-fold portrayal in morning and evening's service, a six-fold portrayal of our divine shepherd. And we're going to be also at the conclusion of our service worshiping our divine shepherd, because the Bible says that he is the one who has given his life for the sheep. How appropriate that we observe the table of the Lord as we're reading this wonderful psalm. Let's take a look, first of all, at the provision of the shepherd. The provision of the shepherd. That's found in verse 1. Here, the King James text says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The word that's translated the Lord, you'll notice it's all in capitals in the King James text. That indicates the term Yahweh. The term Yahweh speaks of the self-existence of God. God needs no other thing or person or force or creation or energy. He needs nothing. He does not depend upon anything else for his existence. He is all-powerful. He is not bound or dependent upon anyone or anything for his existence. He is, as it says in Exodus 3:14, I am the Lord, as he revealed himself to Moses from the burning bush. I am the self-existing one. And I am so thankful that we have that same Lord that David has. Notice he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice it doesn't say, the Lord was my shepherd, or the Lord might be my shepherd. As a matter of fact, the word is really supplied in the original language. Literally, it reads, the Lord my shepherd. It's almost as it were an exclamatory praise to God. The Lord, my shepherd. Here David is basking in the fact that God, being self-existent and omnipotent, would even have a desire to look down and concentrate on David's needs. Such grace amazed him. Folks, I hope that you'll take this afternoon when we go home to meditate upon the Sunday school lesson and the message that you'll receive this morning and later this afternoon, and that you'll take the time to bask in the fact of God's grace and care for you. That you might say, Lord, my shepherd. The fact that he is our shepherd was understood by the King James translators, and I have no objection for them to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Just be aware of the fact that David is emphasizing the fact of his shepherding in his life. Psalm 46 put it this way, the Lord is a very present help in trouble. He's our shepherd. He's guiding us. He is where you are now to help you in your present circumstances that you are going through. He is your shepherd. Think of it. Millions of believers upon the earth, and yet he wants to shepherd your life. He wants to have control, and he wants to work in your life. He is your personal shepherd, acquainted with your trials. He's not just David's God. You know what the Lord said in John 10:27, which is complementary to Psalm 23? My sheep, notice that personal pronoun, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, the Lord uses that phrase, my sheep. He's my shepherd, and we are his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. And again, you must have received him in Psalm 22 as your personal Savior in the provision of your salvation, for his comforting, guiding provision to be present in your life. You know, there's a wonderful book. I have it in my library, and I recommend that every one of you get it if you don't have it. It is a book by Philip Keller, and it is a book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And it is a wonderful one-volume book that is a tremendous blessing. And in the introduction of his book, Philip Keller makes an interesting statement regarding Psalm 23. He says, "It is a tragic truth that many people who really have never come under his direction or management claim that the Lord is my shepherd. They seem to hope that by merely admitting that he is their shepherd, somehow they're going to enjoy the benefits of his care and management without paying the price of forfeiting their own fickle and foolish way of life." Psalm 23 is not written for the one who has rejected the divine shepherd. Psalm 23 is not a chapter for one who has rejected Christ and seeks to follow his own way, and then when brought to the end of their dead-end pursuits, the dead-end alleys, then somehow starts quoting the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm for God's people. And by the way, Psalm 23 is not a mantra. It's not some type of a magical incantation that Christ rejectors can flee to when the going gets tough in order to get out of a tough situation to then to continue in sin. You know, when the Bible talks about the Lord being our shepherd, it was almost a prefigurement of his kenosis, of the time when he would come, as Philippians 2 and verse 5 teaches, when he would come and empty himself of the independent exercise of his divine attributes. When he came and entered into a baby's body that needed to be fed, needed to be cleansed, he needed to learn and be educated, and he was filled with wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man progressively. And yes, he never ceased being God, but he added to himself a human nature. You see, when the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd, a shepherd was not really the best illustration to use in the eyes of the world. Because, you know, according to Genesis chapter 46 and verse 34, to the Egyptians, being a shepherd was an abomination. But it was also a picture of our Lord taking a lowly position for our benefit in order to redeem us. When David became a shepherd, normally it was the responsibility that would be given to the youngest of the family. And David was the little runt. And he was the one that was picked out to be the shepherd boy. Oftentimes, if it was done at all, sometimes none of the children would have that task. But when David experienced being a shepherd, he began to learn more of what the Lord was all about in his life. I think of the scripture in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, where the word of God says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but he came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." In the Old Testament, the sheep gave their life for the shepherd. But in the New Testament, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And as we observe the table of the Lord at the conclusion of our service, keep in mind, our shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And with all of the protection and care that a shepherd would have for the sheep, our Savior demonstrated that. The Lord, my shepherd, basking in the grace. But notice what follows. If you have Yahweh, the self-existing one, as your provider, as your guide, as your leader, as your hope, what follows then? Will you repeat with me the last four words of verse 1? I shall not want. Folks, will you let that seep in to your heart? He's going to provide everything that you need. You know, this world is living in an environment of spiritual vacuum. The world is looking for satisfaction and direction. We have people today saying, well, I'm just going to smoke pot all my life and just blow my mind and just live off of the enjoyment of the flesh. Others are giving themselves over to sensualism. Others are looking to possession acquisition. And he who wins with the most toys wins the race of life. But you know, none of these can satisfy. One of the reasons why the book of Ecclesiastes was written, one of the reasons why it was written, was to show us Solomon is begging us to stay off of dead-end streets. He's begging us. He's saying, the counsel of a father, hey, I've tried it all, and it's all vanity, and it's all emptiness. You need to look to the one who promises you shall not lack. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Our shepherd sees to it that we will not lack in what we need. And this table that we are observing, the table of the Lord, is a picture that our Lord provided for our salvation. And then he says this, do this in remembrance of me, but then we observe the Lord until he comes. You see, this table of the Lord that we are observing has that forward look. There's the backward look to the cross. There's the inward look of self-examination and confession of sin. But there's also the forward look to when we will eat and drink with our Savior in his kingdom. And that tells us that he's going to meet all of our needs. And you know what? We need to pray for our children and our family members that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. They can claim this wonderful provision as well. So we've seen the provision of our shepherd. Can he back it up? Can he back it up? You know, many of you, you want to buy a car and you want to look for the best one and you go to Consumer Reports and you do all of your homework and can they back it up with performance? And you want to look at the documentation on the Pikes Peak hill climb and all of these other things and descriptions of testing and things. Well, you know what? Our Lord is our provider. And his name tells us and reminds us that he can back it up. Maybe there's someone listening to this message that has a family, great expense, and you just found out that mom's expecting again. Lord, are we going to be able to make it through? Lord, you've called us to this pastorate or to this mission field. Lord, you've called us to this place, a new job. Are you going to be able to meet our needs? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Our shepherd sees to it that we will not lack for what we need. And there have been many a time in the 19 years that I've shared the Word of God with you that I've brought to testimony the fact that God has performed great things in the lives of our family. And we look back and all we could say is, I cannot believe it. Lord, how did you ever do it? Because it just doesn't make sense. But thank the Lord, he is our provider. And hey, we need to remind ourselves too, God works through people, he works through events, he works through circumstances. The Yahweh, the Lord, the self-existing one, will use all things at his disposal to see to it that we do not lack. Now, some of you might say, well, Pastor John, since when did you become a health and wealth preacher? I don't think you believe that I'm going there, because you know that's not what I'm preaching. As a matter of fact, most health and wealth preachers are seeking to consume it upon their own lusts. There are many things that I have prayed for that God has seen to it that I did not receive. Because Yahweh, who is the self-existing one, can look down the corridors of time, and like the old country singer said, some of the best prayers are the ones that God doesn't answer. Because that's one of his best gifts sometimes, because we know not what we truly need. So we've seen the provision of the shepherd in verse 1. Let's go on and look at verse 2 now. And let's unfold the next leaf in this passage of Scripture. And we're going to look at the pastures of our shepherd. Here it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." You know, our Lord provides the best of pasture land. But you know, isn't it interesting? It says he makes me to lie down. Sometimes sheep can be pretty obstinate and they don't want to stop. They want to keep moving and they have the greener grass syndrome. And sometimes the Lord has to sovereignly stop us in our tracks. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Even in the greatest of danger, stress, uncertainty, the Lord makes provision for us spiritually. That's the kind of Lord that we have. It says here, "He leads me beside the still waters." Literally, the Hebrew reads, "He leads me beside the waters of quietness." You see, sheep will not drink from running waters. And oftentimes the very sound of turbulent waters will frighten them. Philip Keller, when dealing with this subject of the waters of quietness, makes the following statement. "It's almost impossible to make sheep lie down until four requirements are met." Listen to the four requirements that sheep need to lie down quietly in waters of quietness. Number one, freedom from fear. They're not going to lie down if they see an animal threatening their safety. They have to have freedom of fear. Dear people, our Lord has promised us his presence. We need not fear. He will care for us. Number two, in order for sheep to lie down quietly, they need to be free from tension with other sheep. If the sheep are banging and pushing against each other, sheep can have bad days just like you can, you see. But if they're banging and fighting between them, they're not going to be able to enjoy the waters of quietness. And you know, it's interesting how the devil loves a fighting church. The devil loves to sow discord among the brethren. And sometimes a lot of Christians help the devil, needless to say. But when there's infighting and division, the sheep will not sit down for the waters of quietness to meet their needs. Number three, the third thing that's necessary for sheep to lay down beside the still waters is freedom from parasites. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that. The parasites. Not long ago, I noticed that my German Shepherd Samson was kind of in the backyard looking at me, and one ear was up and one was down, which is kind of strange for a German Shepherd, you know. And I noticed he was scratching his ears. And sometimes little fleas or whatever can get in there. So what he needed was a good ear cleaning and some help. He was back relaxing a little bit more. But the aggravation of the parasites and the fleas and things would oftentimes keep the sheep from lying down in green pastures and drinking from the still waters. And then the fourth thing that will keep the sheep from lying beside the waters of quietness is hunger, when they're hungry. You know, the Lord provides for us in all of these areas. And only the shepherd can see to it that these needs are met. His very presence dispels fear. His very presence is able to stop infighting and rivalry within the flock. When the sheep concentrate on the position of the shepherd and his lordship, and that the church belongs to Christ, not a pastor or elders or influential family members or whatever of the church. When we focus on the shepherd, that will provide waters of quietness and provision. Yeah, we're living in a mighty fast-paced world, and the Lord desires to minister for us in the waters of quietness. Now let's take a look at verse 3. Verse 3, let's take a look at the paths of the shepherd. What are the paths that he provides for us? It says, first of all, he restores my soul. We need, folks, restoring. Any pastor that loves his people and is ministering to his people realizes that it's easy for our batteries to get low and for us to get discouraged in the matters of life. Please don't lose your place in Psalm 23, but turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, that's Elohim in the Hebrew, speaks of the mighty one. Then it talks about the Lord. That's Yahweh used in Psalm 23. Then he's called the creator of the ends of the earth. He faints not, neither is he weary. You know, a wonderful thing about it is that we can tap into that strength. His strength, his power, his tenacity is available to us if we will surrender to him and the power of our great shepherd. And the Bible says, there is no searching of his understanding. He knows the end from the beginning. You don't, and I don't. And that's why we need to trust in the Lord. It says this in verse 29. When it says that he restores our soul in Psalm 23 and verse 3, here's a commentary on that. He gives power to the faint. Some of you might be hesitant to raise your hand on this one, and I'm not going to insist that you do. But you know, how many of you in your heart would say, you know, Pastor John, right now I'm faint. I just don't have the power to go on. As a matter of fact, I'm feeling like I'm ready to slip and fall and just feel like things are out of control and I'm weak and I'm fearful. You need to be restored, and he gives power to the faint. And the minute that you admit that you are faint, he'll come to you and say, now, why don't you plug into the right power source now? The very fact that you're faint is because you're not plugged into his power. You're plugged into the wrong power source. You're looking to yourself. You're looking to your parents or your children, or you're looking to circumstances or your 401k, or you're looking at the stock market, or you're looking at your home, or you're looking at your possessions. The Bible says here, I am your power source. I give power to the faint. To them who have no might, I increase their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. You know, I look at teenagers play basketball, and I think of days gone by. I look at children playing in the playground and oftentimes think, wow, if I could bottle that energy, it would just be wonderful. And not have any more aches and pains and be able to run and to do everything that they're doing. Yeah, there was once a time that we did that, but you know, Don't look to the youth as your model. It says this, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. AOC, you are looking to the wrong renewable power source. The renewable power source comes from the Lord. Oh, it says here, they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. I want to close with another item that Philip Keller brings up in his book. He comments on the fact of those sheep that are cast down sheep. He uses that term as a shepherd. Most shepherds will use a term. They call them cast down sheep. Let's find out if you're a cast down sheep. Here's a cast down sheep. A cast down sheep is one that has turned over on its back and it's unable to get up again by itself. This condition is not uncommon among pregnant sheep. Unless the shepherd keeps diligent watch over his flock, a cast down sheep will die or fall victim to predators. The shepherd must restore such sheep. He must help the cast down sheep to get back on its feet again and regain its equilibrium. And you know what? The wonderful part about it is that our good shepherd can help us to get up after we've fallen. We've seen that today in our study of Scripture, haven't we? How the Lord is able to help us to get up after we have fallen. We're all subject to stumbling and falling in life. And when we're down, we're the most vulnerable for the deadly attacks. And when we are down, belly up, the devil is going to go for our jugular. I had a Sharpei. You know what a Sharpei is, don't you? It's one of those wrinkle dogs. They are master fighters, by the way. Their hide, in spite of being wrinkled, is very thick. Whenever you startle a Sharpei, they will pivot around in circles, instinctively breaking the hold or the grip of any animal that may be attacking them. And one of the things that we learned about our Sharpei was that when you give it a bath, don't ever expect it to lie on its back. A Sharpei will never expose itself to be vulnerable. He will fight to stay on all fours. Well, you know, a cast down sheep is a sheep that's exposed totally to the enemy. I want to ask you a question. Do you have cast down sheep family members that, yes, may know the Lord, but they're in circumstances where they are open season for the attacks of the devil? Cast down sheep. The good shepherd protects us. When we're down and vulnerable to attack from despair, despondency, when we're down and find it hard to get back up, that's when we need the good shepherd. And he knows that when we fall, he knows that we are in danger of attack because of our helpless posture. He can help us to get back on our feet and get our equilibrium back. And that's why it finishes with verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Notice leads. The Lord wants us to keep on the move. You know, one of the greatest dangers of us leaving Central Florida Bible Church is that we will stop going to church. We will just put things into neutral. The Lord is not desirous of us doing that. He wants to lead us on into new additional paths of righteousness, new grazing areas for us. Many Christians, like self-willed sheep, refuse to go on to fresh fields because of fear of the unknown. And they often wind up spiritually starved, emaciated, and diseased, feeding on the dry roots of yesterday's blessings and memories. We cannot allow that to happen. He will continue to lead us. And by the way, his namesake is at stake. Look at the last part of verse 3, and we'll conclude with this. It says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." The Lord will always lead you in the direction that agrees with his word. And that means to go to a good Bible-believing church that will feed you and continue to build in your life for his name's sake. You know, the reputation of the shepherd is at stake if the sheep do not fare well. If our walk is not right, we don't bring glory to God. That's why the Bible said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, we're going to stop at this point, and we're going to continue with verse 4, and we're going to see the presence of the Savior in verse 4. Let's bow our heads together. And I'm going to ask our elders to come and to prepare the table of the Lord for us to worship together in praise to our divine shepherd. The fact that we are observing the Lord's table this morning is a testimony to the fact that we have begun our journey by receiving the shepherd of Psalm 22, who gave his life that we might have eternal life. Bless us now, Lord, as we observe the table of our Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we can say, Lord, with our hearts rejoicing, that we are your children. We are your sheep, the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, thank you for what you have provided for us on the cross of Calvary, and that you'll meet all of our needs. And Lord, take us home to your heavenly kingdom. Bless us now in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.